This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, we'll hear about the Kalamazoo County Land Bank's latest rehabilitation effort. The grand opening of the Riverview launch is happening today. But first, a State House committee considering what disciplinary action to take against State Representatives Cindy Gamrat and Todd Corser has now heard from both of those representatives, but what happens next is unclear. Zach Gorchow is the editor of the Gongwer News Service. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Gordon.
You wrote on your blog, the Gongwer blog, after Cindy Gamrat testified before the committee, that the recommendation by the General Counsel to recommend censure for Gamrat but expulsion for Corser could shape the ending. Is that still the case, or is there the possibility that the committee and ultimately the State House may do something different than what the General Counsel was recommending?
No, there definitely is a real possibility that the House Republicans, or the majority in the House, will decide to set aside the legal counsel's recommendation and pursue expulsion. Ed McBroom, the chair of the committee, said this morning that he is leaning toward expulsion. It's not definitely there yet, but he was leaning toward expulsion for both of them. And just in talking to various Republican sources yesterday, it just sounds like the legal counsel, you know, may have just kind of gaffed on this and not really read or had a good sense of where the caucus was at and maybe spoke too soon.
What are they in particular concerned about when it comes to Gamrat and Corser that makes them think that, yes, they, both of them, have committed actions which rise to the level of being removed?
I think there's three pieces to this. One is the use of staff, or, you know, attempt of use of staff to try to prevent their extramarital affair from coming to light, even though the staffer did not agree to send out the now infamous phony email that Todd Corser himself wrote to make him look bad as a way of diverting attention from the extramarital affair. And even though it didn't take place on state time or state property, it's still, you're going to your staffer who reports to you and asking him to do something unethical. And I think, you know, that's one piece. The other piece is just the rampant apparent use of official staff, taxpayer-funded staff, for political purposes, which is illegal. Discussions of Todd Corser's congressional ambitions, apparently on state time, discussions about Cindy Gamrat's bid for Republican National Committee woman on state time. That's another big piece of this. And then I think just an overarching, this isn't a reason to expel someone, but just an, you know, overarching lack of competence and chaos in their office. You add all this together, combined with their alienation of their colleagues, their total lack of respect for their colleagues, not building any alliances, and that's the recipe you have here to potentially get them kicked out.
Now, Cindy Gamrat was very contrite when she testified before this committee. She had to stop a couple times as she was crying. But she said that the House office report was essentially true. Before that, however, she had denied knowledge of the false flag email, and it said some other things which, you know, sort of contradicted what was in the report. And I guess I'm wondering if changing her story has maybe hurt her a little bit with her fellow representatives.
Well, it seems to cut one of two ways. And I don't know the answer, full answer at this point. But on the one hand, the contrition and basically fessing up to everything that's been accused, I think in some ways helps in the sense that, you know, she's basically, you know, saying, look, I did it. I am sorry. And when it comes to these expulsion proceedings, it generally helps your cause to not be in denial. On the other hand, she's basically, you know, she pleaded guilty. I mean, this isn't a court of law, but she has basically admitted to doing all of these things. And if you're a member of the House, weighing whether to vote yes or no for expulsion, and you're saying, well, you know, it's not even a they said, she said situation. It's now she agrees with everything that's been said about her. It certainly helps make the case to throw her out.
Todd Corser had been much more defiant after these allegations came out, had called this committee a kangaroo court. But yesterday when he came before the committee, he was somewhat more contrite. Let's hear just a little bit of Todd Corser from yesterday.
I have no excuse, nor can I explain the ridiculous email and the voice recordings, except to say that they were the actions of a desperate person.
So, Zach Gorchow, does Todd Corser get any credibility with the committee for being more contrite yesterday and admitting that, yes, he had done these horrible things?
They certainly did not take it with any degree of credibility. The problem for Todd Corser is there's just too many times that he has lashed out with these sort of manifesto-type emails, accusing his colleagues of all kinds of nefarious plots and conspiracies. And, Andrea LaFontaine, who's a state representative from basically kind of the Thumb area, northern Macomb County and the Thumb area, she really let him have it. Mr. Corser had talked about, this was kind of one email brought on at a desperate moment, and she basically said, I don't care if it was a desperate moment, a desperate day, a desperate month, you don't treat staff like this, and told him she basically was just hearing a lot of excuses. Ed McBroom, the chair, said, how do we know this is the real you? That there have been, could this just be another cover? Could this be an act? And I will say that, there really are, Mr. Corser can put on two very different faces. If you talk to him on the phone, if you interview him in person, there is a much less strident edge. But when, when he gets on Facebook, when he starts typing up the emails, it's a very conspiratorial, hard-edged tone. And so what we saw yesterday was more of what you get from Mr. Corser in person.
You actually wrote back earlier this month on the Gong War blog about the fact that Representative Kurt Heise being appointed to this committee was in a way bringing Corser's legislative story full circle. Now, explain this little history between Heise and Corser and why it is interesting and plays into this.
Well, yes. So in February, at the opening of the term, in the Criminal Justice Committee of the House, where Representative Heise is the chair and Representative Corser is a member, there was a bill up for consideration. Basically, it would allow law enforcement to ping a cell phone to get its location if there was a concern that the owner or user of the cell phone was in some type of imminent danger. Think of, a child with a phone who had gone missing, allowing law enforcement to ping that phone and try to find it and so forth. So, at the outset of this meeting, I sort of wondered, boy, is Corser going to go along with this? You could just sort of see, his concerns about Fourth Amendment, Big Brother coming into the fore here. But as it turned out, they adopted an amendment of his, and then he voted for the bill. And it was a big surprise to me, and I think everybody, and as it turned out, to Representative Corser's staff, too, because apparently the plan had been that he was going to vote no on this and sort of got confused. And inadvertently voted yes. But then about a week later, as the bill was potentially going to come up on the House floor, Representative Corser sent out one of those emails, and it just, tore this bill to shreds. You would have thought that Stalin had come up with this thing, with the way he was talking about it. And he never in this email said, oh, by the way, I voted yes on it. he didn't touch it at all, didn't touch that at all. And so it was just, interesting to me that, that Heise ended up on the committee. I mean, he's an attorney and it made some sense to put him on the committee for sure. But I thought there was some irony there that, Corser had really kind of thrown Heise under the bus here with his behavior earlier in the year. And it just sort of stood as an example of how he has, really gone out of his way not to build alliances that could help with his legislative causes.
And is that part of the reason right now that we have not heard people coming to the defense of Todd Corser and Cindy Gamrat? Yes, what they've done may be pretty bad, But normally, just about everybody in the legislature has at least a few allies who will at least speak for their character and say, you know, they might have done something bad, but they're a good person. Are these two so isolated that they just don't have anybody like that that's willing to step forward and at least give them, you know, the good character witness, shall we say?
No, they do not. They do not. I mean, Cindy Gamrat was barred from attending the very important private meetings of the House Republican Caucus because the Speaker of the House, Kevin Cotter, felt she was leaking information. And already back then, this was in the spring, the House Republicans were saying she was speaking, you know, very ill of colleagues in the caucus. And so, you know, for a long time, there's been this schism between them and their colleagues. And you look over the years at other legislators who have gotten in very serious trouble with the law, and, you know, certainly there could have been a case made, you know, that they needed to be expelled right then and there. Because they had built alliances and respect over the years, they basically were allowed to stay while the legal cases played out in the courts.
The story in the Gongwer News Service today is that Democrats are reluctant to proceed with any floor votes on discipline for Gamrat and Corser, whether that's expulsion or censure. Can we read into this that it's really the Republicans right now who are more anxious to move ahead and get this done one way or another?
I think so. I mean, I think, you know, based on, you know, Ed McBroom saying that he's leaning toward expulsion, based on what I was hearing from Republicans last night, that there's more energy for expulsion right now in the House Republican caucus. The House Democrats are going to have to make a decision here. If expulsion goes up on the board for a vote, on what to do. I mean, I think they feel like this process has been a mess, and I think they have some legitimate gripes as to how things have played out with this, but in the end, are they really going to go to bat for Corser and Gamrat? You know, especially when both have basically admitted to misconduct and misuse of state resources. I mean, that's going to be difficult to sustain that explanation. I mean, they want to broaden this out to the Speaker's office, and why didn't Kevin Cotter, the Speaker, and his staff do a better job of managing the staff versus legislator complaints between Corser and Gamrat and their staff. But in the end, that really doesn't have a direct role in the decision on whether Corser and Gamrat stay or go. So if I had to guess, and it is purely a guess, I think they will continue to beat up on the Speaker over how he handled the staffing situation here. But if once it goes up on the board, it would surprise me if there aren't enough Democrats to give this the two-thirds majority it needs for expulsion, presuming that is what this comes to. I think that would sort of turn the focus away from the House Republicans and how they handled this, and Corser and Gamrat themselves to the Democrats deciding to spare them. And if that's what they want to do, I guess they'll own it. But it would be a difficult position for them to put themselves in.
You've mentioned the committee chairman, Ed McBroom, a couple times. I want to play just a little bit of sound from him yesterday addressing Todd Corser after Corser had testified before this House committee.
It's hard for me to accept that now is suddenly the moment when the light shines in, and I can believe that this is not another attempt at misdirection. This is not another attempt at manipulation.
And that's kind of what you're talking about there, right? That the Republicans say on this committee are saying, look, we've got the goods. And why believe, especially Todd Corser right now, that this is some sort of a credible confession and an attempt to turn himself around?
I mean, look, Corser is on tape. This is one of the recordings that his now former staffer, Ben Graham, made secretly, explaining the rationale and strategy behind this email in which, Corser wrote it, the email was written to claim that he had paid for sex with a male prostitute and was addicted to drugs and alcohol and was just generally a deviant person, you know, none of which is, you know, true as far as we know, is all made up. And in explaining the rationale for it, said it was to be a controlled burn, that in a controlled burn, you mix in a little bit of truth with a lot of lies. And, you know, boy, when you're caught on tape saying that you're deliberately using lies as a strategy to save your neck, if you're the committee and if you're the fellow legislators, how do you really know you can trust what Todd Corser is saying? Now, granted, what he said yesterday, he was saying under oath. If they could, if there was actually found to be something where he perjured himself, he would be in a lot of jeopardy. But nonetheless, it's difficult, I think, for the members to accept what he's saying yesterday at face value.
We have about a minute left, Zach. What's next here? As we speak on Thursday morning, the committee is supposed to meet again today. What are the next steps that we should be looking out for?
Yep, the committee just got underway a few minutes ago. They have resolutions before them for both censure and expulsion for both legislators. And the expectation today is they will make a decision on which option for each legislator to send to the full House. Now, that said, the full House could always do something different. They don't have to follow what the committee does. But obviously, what the committee does is going to hold great weight. And that's what I think people are going to be looking for. And the question will be, does the full House then act today and just get this over with? Or do they sort of let members chew on it over the weekend and come back next week and make a final decision then?
And a two-thirds vote would be needed to remove one or both of these members.
Two-thirds vote, that's 73 votes out of the current 109 members are needed to expel. A censure would just require a simple majority.
All right. Zach Gorchow, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Gordon.
Zach Gorchow is the editor of the Gongwer News Service.